You richly and deeply, and we appreciate your ministry among us tonight. We want you to come, and whatever the Holy Ghost tells you, we want you to tell us tonight. God bless you.
Amen. Let's give Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 1. Lots of ones there. And before I get started here, let me just say how much I love and appreciate New Life. Prior to arriving here 3 weeks ago, I was in a revival for 29 days. And out of those 29 days, I preached about 21 of them. And so I was exhausted. And just being here has been so refreshing for me and helpful. And your generosity, your kindness, and your devotion to church really makes my job a lot easier. So I thank you for that. And even coming back from Cuba, I preached 2 times a day. So I was tired when I got here. But again, your commitment to church and to be fully alert and present in the services really helps me a lot. And so I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your sacrifice and your commitment and your love. Man, JP looks really good right now. Amen. He's looking sharp. Hallelujah. So God bless you, New Life. Amen. How many people love Jesus? Amen. How many people love your pastor? Amen. We were preaching a conference together, and believe it or not, I heard Brother Sutton preach for the first time, and I thought, I never want to preach at his church again. That man could throw down. So I'm more challenged now preaching here than ever, because your pastor can throw down. And so he's a good preacher. So, amen. He's given every evangelist a run for their money. So, he's becoming quite the hot topic everywhere. And everyone loves them some Barry Sutton. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Very familiar territory. Simply says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In your King James Bible, it probably says, follow me as I follow Christ. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. Will the real copycats please stand up? Will the real copycats please stand up? Is that all right? Jesus, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for being here together. Lord, I thank you that you've allowed us to be family. And I pray, God, that your spirit would move here tonight in a wonderful way. We thank you for all the new children that you've brought into the kingdom today. And we thank you for all the sons and daughters that came back this morning. You're doing wonderful things, God, and we cannot praise you enough. Touch us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone shout a glorious amen. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise before you're seated. I think it goes without saying that American society and culture is currently wrestling with several complicated and polarized ideas. One of the ideas that confuses us significantly is the idea or the concept of copying. On the surface, we seemingly are against it and have been for quite some time. We have words like fake, phony, copycat. All these words are somewhat derogatory in nature, and they somehow express our dislike for anybody who would mimic or imitate. But our repulsion towards imitation is painfully biased because we actually like replicas very much. This is why we'll flock to anywhere within the 50 states that has replicas of landmarks from other countries. if we happen to know of an amusement park or a city where there are replicas, we'll go there and stare at them. Amen. And we'll hang out there and spend good chunks of money. And we're all too happy to buy fake Eiffel Towers and put them in everywhere from the living room to the bathroom. Amen. And that is just to help complement all the fake artwork we have hanging on the walls. Amen. Americans live under the paradoxical and confusing idea that copying is always wrong, except when it's right. Copying is everywhere, and it's done by everyone, yet it's still subject to restrictions and norms and even laws that directly tell us it's wrong. Just about every object we come into contact today in the modern world is saturated with copyright and intellectual property laws, which sets very clear restrictions on how we use those objects. At school, they encourage us to repeat and to quote information, but only in an academic way. One day we're told not to imitate, and God forbid we commit the unpardonable sin of plagiarism. Then on other days, our grades take hits for not imitating the teacher enough. It's little wonder that our confusion has caused us to Google the word copyright over 3.8 billion times a year. That is significantly more than most words you think people Google. Most of us are not clear on whether copying is good or bad. The answer is both. Copying and imitating and replicating is good and bad. From a biblical perspective, who you copy and who you imitate determines whether copying is good or bad. Let's talk about bad copying first. Third book of John 1:11 says, "Beloved, follow or mimic not that which is evil, but that which is good." We are not to mimic, copycat, or replicate evil. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain from all appearance of evil." When it comes to our dress, and I know that this gets touchy in a lot of places, but when it comes to our dress and our manner of appearance and comportment, we should not look to the skimpy, ugly, nasty fashions of the world. The fashions that really don't compliment us, they in fact degrade us. Amen. I don't want to wear a tie on Sunday and get thug life on Monday. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't want to look like a godly woman on Sunday and look like a hoochie mama on Monday. Somebody shout amen. I'm just going to preach plain for a second. We've got to abstain from all appearance of evil. And when we say appearance of evil, we should really go all the way with it, because we're not just talking about the way we dress. We're also talking about the way we talk and the way we behave. Anything that would lend itself to evil, we should abstain from it. We should flee from it. We should run from it. We should not copy it. We should copy Jesus. We should copy Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Exodus 23 and verse 2 says, "You shall not follow the masses in doing evil." Somebody say amen. But let's talk about good copying. Copying can, in fact, be good from a biblical perspective. So good that God recommends it himself. Leviticus 19:2 says, "You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." 1 Peter 1:16 reiterates this. He says, when he says, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Ephesians 5:1 says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." Amen. Mark 8:34. Amen. Here the word follow actually means to imitate. The Bible says that Jesus summoned the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and imitate me. Do we have a call from God to imitate him? We have a call from Jesus Christ himself to walk as he walked. In Christianity, it is unmistakably true that copying trumps innovation. There's nothing wrong with being creative. There's nothing wrong with being open and willing to try something different. But when it comes to certain things, God is not looking for your creativity. There are certain things that you cannot improve on perfection, as they say. God, there are certain wheels that God is not asking you to reinvent. There are certain things that God is asking us to follow to the letter and to the T. We don't need, amen, to try to come up with a new and fancy way of doing some things. There are some things that God is looking for as many copycats as he can. He's looking for folks to read the Bible and do it just the way the Bible says.
Well, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. I want you to know that I personally understand, as a preacher, I understand that when I begin to knock any religion, it actually can backfire and make all Christianity look bad. But I want you to know today that I genuinely feel that all Christianity is in a little bit of trouble. Amen. And it is in trouble because we have several sectors of Christianity that are refusing to copy Jesus. They are refusing to copy the apostles. They are refusing to be copycats of the scriptures. Amen. The Bible not only tells us to copy Jesus, it tells us to copy and to imitate the apostles. We read the verse right now. It said to be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Philippians 4:9 says, the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, this is the apostle talking, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. If you want peace in your life, copy the things you see in the Bible. When you live the way the Bible tells you to live, there ain't no trouble, there ain't no fuss, there ain't no mess that is going to get the victory over your peace. You will have peace. In fact, if I could just preach to somebody right now, if I could just preach to me right now, I would tell you that if you are not at peace and you have no rest in your life, it's probably because somewhere you're trying to do it your way. Somewhere you were trying to reinvent God's wheel. Somewhere you were trying to be innovative and creative, and God is waiting for you to wake up and smell the coffee and say, you know what? I'm tired of trying to come up with a modified plan. I'm going to look to the Word of God, and I'm going to do it just the way God said. God said to pray, then I'm going to pray. God said to be holy, then I'm going to be holy. God said to give, then I'm going to have. Come on, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Second Thessalonians 3:7 says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. Hebrews 13:7 says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Imitate their faith. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
We are to be copycats. We should copy what Jesus, the apostles, the prophets all preached. They preached that there was and is and will forever be one God. We don't need any fancy newfangled ideas as to how there might be more than one person in the Godhead. The Bible says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord
You ought to copy that. Zechariah said, in the last days, the Lord shall be one and his name one. Ephesians 4 and 4 tells us there is one Lord. There is one faith. There is one baptism. There is one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Honey, you got to copy this stuff. You better be a copycat. I need some copycats to stand up and declare, I believe that there is one God. It wasn't my idea. It was Moses's idea. It wasn't my idea. It was Jesus's idea. There was a scribe that asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He told that scribe, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. That is Jesus's doctrine. That is Bible, honey. The apostles preached to us and taught us all through the word of God that he is one. He is one. He is one. We got to copy it. We got to imitate it. We got to... Hallelujah. Come on. Christianity's in all kinds of trouble because it refuses to copycat the Bible. I want to copycat the Bible. I want to copycat Jesus. I want to copycat the apostles. Hallelujah. Not only is God one, let me tell you something. We do not believe, amen, that Jesus is in the Godhead. We believe that the Godhead is in Jesus. The Bible says, for the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in Jesus Christ. All of God was manifested in the flesh. We believe that the one and only true God made himself a man. Amen. Timothy tells us in 3 and 16, great is the mystery of godliness. A lot of people would like to stop there and tell you that God's Godhead is a mystery. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on and he says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. The one true living God manifested himself in flesh and revealed himself to humanity as the man Jesus Christ. It wasn't a second person. It was the only person in heaven. The apostle John, amen, he got in the spirit. Amen. If you get in the spirit, you'll see God as he is. All you need to do to get a different idea about God is get in your flesh and you'll come up with all kinds of crazy ideas. But John said, I was in the spirit, and he ascended up to heaven, and he said, I saw one sitting on the throne. Honey, we're going to see one person, one God, amen, sitting on the throne. We're not going to see an old man with a Jehovah Junior and a dove flapping around. There's going to be one God, one Lamb, one light, one Savior, one... Where are all my copycats at right now? Hallelujah. The Bible says there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus stands between us and God. He is that bridge of flesh that reconciles us unto God. Amen. He is our advocate, our lawyer. Amen. Our redeemer, our kinsman redeemer. Amen. It is because of Jesus that we have access to the spirit of the one true living God. Had it not... Oh, come on. Somebody, hallelujah. Jesus. Somebody shout amen. 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 The apostles preached and expected their descendants, that is us, to copy them in baptism. Everywhere in the Bible that anybody was ever baptized, it was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If we do not baptize in the formula found in Matthew 28:19 like others do, because they are missing some key words there. Jesus said to go into all the nation and teach and preach and baptize.
in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But we know that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are not names. They are titles. Father is a title. Amen. Son is a title. Holy Ghost is a title. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that God is a spirit. John chapter 4 verse 20 through 22. God is a spirit. Isaiah tells us that the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. If God is a spirit and God is holy, that makes God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we know that one spirit, the Bible says there is only one spirit. There is not two spirits. There is only one spirit. Amen. And we know that one spirit manifested himself, amen, in the flesh. And that is the Son. His name is Jesus. And that's why the apostles, after hearing Jesus speak these words, turned around, took themselves down to Jerusalem, and waited in an upper room, just as they had been told. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of a fire, and it sat upon each of them. But it doesn't stop there. They got all filled up with the Holy Ghost, and there was a bunch of onlookers, and they began to make fun of the apostles. And Peter stood up in front of them and told them, this which you see and hear, this is that was promised by the prophet Joel. Amen. Hallelujah. And he began to preach to them, and they got convicted, and they asked him, what should we do? Let me tell you what Peter did not say. He did not say, accept the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He did not say, go shake Pastor Barry Sutton's hand. He did not say, fill out a membership form for new life. He did not say, make the pastor's wife a bottle of jam. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you too shall receive the baptism. Come on, you got to get your copycat on. You got to get your... Everyone say 2, 8, 10, 19. Say 2, 8, 10, 19. Say 2, 8, 10, 19. Those are all the chapters in the Bible where baptism was practiced in the New Testament mode. And every time they baptized people, it was in the name of Jesus. Peter baptized them in Jesus' name. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, amen, Philip found him a bunch of Samaritans that were under the bondage of witchcraft. Amen. And he began to baptize them. And the baptism experience was so powerful that even the witch himself, Simon, said, I need to get myself baptized too. And the scripture tells us that he called for John and Peter to come down and lay their hands on the Samaritans, because they had not been baptized. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 10 tells us that Peter was preaching to some old Italians. Amen. And as he yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues and prophesy. And then Peter got up and said, y'all need to get baptized. And he commanded them. He did not imply. He did not recommend. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. In Acts chapter 19, the Apostle Paul finds himself some disciples of John the Baptist. You know, before you get mad at me, why don't you just open up? I know everyone's not mad at me. There's some folks getting mad at me. There's some folks that want to get up and walk out right now, but they can't. Just stick around. The Apostle Paul says, I was not called to baptize. He specifically says, that is not my ministry. But there was one guy in the Bible who that was his ministry. His name was John the Baptist. And Paul found him some of John the Baptist's disciples. And even though he did not feel it was his job to go around baptizing people, he did ask them, how were you baptized?
That's right.
You should not get offended if you come to a church where people ask, how have you been baptized? And can I tell you that if the Apostle Paul met devout men, religious men, committed disciples, and still asked them, how were you baptized? It's because it's a pretty important thing. If he made a big deal out of it, I better copycat and make a big deal about it too. And he asked them, how were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized unto John's baptism. And the Bible says that Paul commanded them. He commanded them to be baptized. And the Bible says that they were all baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. The book of Acts covers a span of 30 years. 30 years, if not more. Can I tell you that if the apostles had misinterpreted Matthew 28:19, 30 years is plenty of time to get it right. Amen. But they didn't misinterpret Matthew 28:19. They were right on the money. They practiced what Jesus preached. They understood what Jesus was saying when he said to baptize. That's why you don't find anyone in the book of Acts that was ever baptized in those titles. They were all baptized in Jesus' name. Being baptized in the name of Jesus, my friend, is glorious. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. You ought to do it. You ought to do it. You ought to do it.
Do it.
I'm not telling you you're not a believer. I'm not telling you you don't love God. I'm not telling you that maybe you haven't ever worked in the Spirit. I'm not telling you all any of that. All I'm telling you is that if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus, you have not been a good copycat. You have not copied the biblical model. And I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm alone here tonight when I say I want to follow the biblical model. I want to do it just the way the Bible says, because the Bible says that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will endure forever. Brother, I want to walk on the word. That word is the ladder to heaven. That word is how you get from here into the portals of glory. You got to follow the signs. You got to follow. Oh, come on, somebody. We ought to copy the apostles and Jesus Christ and the prophets in the infilling of the Spirit. Let me tell you, as odd as it is, as awkward as it is, as uncomfortable as it is, the Bible states that we must be born again of the Spirit. It is not up to us to reinvent what that means. It is not up to us to modify that and dabble with it and play with it. I remember I met a woman, very nice woman. She was a nurse. And I told her, I said, I was giving her Bible studies. I said, you've got to get the Holy Ghost. And she says, well, I have it. And I said, how do you know you have it? She said, because I love children. As sincere as she was sincerely wrong. You can be sincere and sincerely wrong. There are people here, you are sincere as all get out. You're just sincerely wrong. I love you. You are obligated to love me back. But you're wrong. You're just sincerely wrong. And the beautiful thing is that we have church here every night at 6:30, so you can get it right. You can get it right. If you're wrong, get it right. I know people. If I pray for you and you pass out, I'm going to pick you up. Because although that might be God, and although that might be great, and although that might be wonderful, when you get the Holy Ghost, the Bible says you shall speak in other tongues. We already went through it, so I'm not going to go through it again. But in Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 8, and Acts chapter 19, every time people received the Holy Ghost, amen, they spoke in other tongues. And isn't it beautiful that everywhere people were baptized, there was also that baptism of the Spirit? It's beautiful. All the dots connect. You've got to align yourself. It's there laid out, the plan of salvation. You want to know how to get to heaven? God made it clear. Here's the key. Everyone say, here's the key. Here is the key. When you pray, we're almost done. And I know maybe this seems like a recap of tonight, but of this morning, but it's good. When you pray, you got to let it go. You got to put all this superficial junk aside, because it will hinder you from getting the Holy Ghost. If you are worried about your hair or your lack of, if you are worried about your clothes, if you are worried about your friends, if you are worried about all these superficial things, you are going to hinder the Spirit of God. You are going to stop it. You know, I would not want to sit in a church more than once, more than twice. I would not want to go to a church for even a month or a year or a lifetime and be lost. I'm going to be very frank and perhaps maybe too candid with you. But if there was no Holy Ghost, I would not be a Christian. I've said it, and I hear a lot of people say, you know, even if God wasn't real, this is still the best life. I don't think so. The Bible says that if we don't have the Spirit, we're miserable. We're most miserable. We're most miserable. It is only the Spirit that makes this worth living. It is only the Spirit that makes this possible. It is only the Holy Ghost that makes this exciting. It is only the Holy Ghost that makes... I'm telling you, friend. If you are here to placate somebody, and I feel like we got some placaters in the house. If you don't know what placate means, it means you're just trying to get somebody else to leave you alone. We got placaters in the house. If you're just here to placate somebody, you are doing yourself a disservice. I'm not telling you to leave. I'm telling you to leave the placating alone and get yourself up to the altar and get yourself an experience. Otherwise, we're almost done. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're not going to see any. I'm telling you, without the Holy Ghost, don't dabble with religion. Don't mess with it. Religion without the Holy Ghost is all bad. God's really ministering right now. I got just a few minutes. We're going to pray right now. This is kind of a real serious moment. If you think I'm kind of just jumping back and forth, I am. But it's for a good reason. So let us reverence this second. Let's just pray. We're almost done preaching. But let's pray. Jesus. 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 He shatadalara bo sondoloro bo sakaya tabasa. He tadalara basandalaria basandalara bosa. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, come on, I feel a wonderful, beautiful spirit of faith coming in this house. Come on, let's imitate the faith. Hallelujah, let's imitate the faith. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, I feel it. Come on, just one more minute. There's something really beautiful beginning to rise up right now. Somebody shout Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. I think it's important that some people here realize where the New Testament begins. The New Testament begins after the death of Jesus. When you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's not where you get your plan for salvation from. We don't look to the thief on the cross to how we should be saved. Hebrews tells us that a testament is of none effect until the death of the testator. Jesus Christ is the testator. New Testament salvation, the thing that God expects Gentiles to practice. That, my friend, begins in Acts. Not Romans. Not Matthew. That begins in Acts. Do you know, last statement of the night, do you know that for the Christians in Rome, there was a big problem? And the problem was that it was not odd for any Roman citizen to be beheaded for not saying that Caesar is God, or not saying that Caesar is king, lord, ruler. If you would not declare Caesar the embodiment of all power, they'd cut your head off. And the Apostle Paul comforts the Romans, the church in Rome, and he tells them, if you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. He is telling them, don't worry about your head rolling. You will be saved. Your head may not be, but you will be. And you've got to put these things in their proper context, or else you're going to start hurtling scriptures and getting into mail that doesn't belong to you. The book of Romans belongs to people who have gone through New Testament salvation. You are dabbling in stuff that is not for you. It's getting tight, but I'm trying to bring it home. I will tell you this much. It is okay for you to be mad at me right now. It is okay. It is okay. I'll give you a few seconds. But why? Why don't you give this a try? Why don't you come up today, pray with a sincere heart, and say, God, if that handsome young man is right. I want to know. I believe with all my heart. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know that I could probably fill this room up with people that's how they came into experience with God? They got a Bible study, and when the preacher left, they said, God, if that preacher's right, I want to experience it. Can I tell you the people that prayed, God, if my mom's right, let me know, and God would move in their room. Can I tell you that I could fill this room up with people that did nothing more than say, if what they're saying is right. If what they're saying is right, God, let me experience it. And you know what God did? He honored the word of his people. He honored in his posterity and in his... He honors the words of his people. Yes, let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise right now. This is good. This is good. Come on. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. This is wonderful. Let us magnify Jesus. Come on, come on, come on. Somebody shout yes. Somebody shout yes. Can I get all the copycats to stand up? Hallelujah. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for people. This is not the time to pick up your baby and hide from me. Nobody wants to touch the kids now. This is not a bathroom break. Don't start coughing and faking the flu. Don't tell me you feel like you got a touch of Ebola and you got to get home. This is not time to be Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, or even Pentecostal. This is time to be a believer. This is time to be a copycat. This is time to be a sincere. I was preaching at a church the other day, just like this. I told a woman, I said, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to lift your hands and pray. Her life's falling apart. She says, but I'm a Baptist. I said, no, you're a woman whose life is falling apart. You are not a Baptist. Your life is falling apart. Now lift your hands and pray like a woman who's a hot mess and ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And she got it. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, I feel so happy right now. I feel good in God right now. The devil is a liar. Our flesh. So we have preached a long time here tonight. You have been awesome. But now it's time to experience. Now it's time to come into contact with. Do not hide behind your baby. Don't get a slight case of Ebola. Stay in the service. Don't head for the door. We've had a few people get the Holy Ghost that were heading for the door this week. Amen. And Chris this morning was heading for the door, and we stopped him, and God got him. Amen. Hallelujah. And so don't head for the door. Head for the open door. Don't knock on the open door. Don't knock on the open door. You don't have to beg God for the Holy Ghost. The door is open. You don't have to grovel for the Holy Ghost. The door is open. You are invited. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what nationality you are. I don't care what your physical capacities are or are not. The door is open. I don't care what your past is. I don't care if you're here with your third husband. The door is open. I don't care if you're here with two of your boyfriends in the crowd. The door is open. God forbid. the door is open to them too. Here's the end all. This is tough. I'm trying to really work, trying to massage some people here. If you have never spoken in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you the utterance, or if it's been over, we'll say 3 months. We'll let the two-monthers get off today. If it's been over 3 months, I'd like you to come out of your seat and come up to the front. That's the invitation. If you don't know, come on up, sir. You won't be up here alone. I want one person to stand with him. Stephen, would you, or Pastor Sutton's there, someone, just one. Come on, we have a few minutes. Don't worry, I'm not worried. I know if you're like, man, I feel bad for Brother Prado. I'm not worried. Don't feel bad for me. Come on. If you've never spoken in tongues, I'm totally fine with just praying for this gentleman here. Come on up. Amen. God bless this wonderful couple. Amen. We still got, I'll say, a minute and a half. Now, Brother Collins, where's Brother Collins? Stephen's dad. Is he still in here? Is he still in the building? Well, I'm sure he'll come back in, but I don't know who does all the baptizing. But whoever does all the baptizing, this is the pastor here, Pastor Sutton. Brother Collins, raise your hand. Is he back there? Amen. That's Brother Collins. Some of you have not been baptized correctly. You need to talk to him before you leave. He'll baptize you. Or one of us will baptize you. Some of you have been bothered, patronized, marketed, bugged by us for months now telling you to get baptized. You need to stop fighting it and just do it. I wish somebody had helped me on that one. Just do it. We'll leave you alone once you do it. We got a few more seconds. I'm not going to let these good people stand here too long. God bless you. Because they're good people. They came up. But we're waiting. If your kids are at least six, bring them up here, church folk. If your kids are at least six and they do not have the Holy Ghost, bring them up here. I know some of y'all's kids don't have the Holy Ghost, so you need to be bringing those kids up here. Hallelujah. God is going to honor his word, people. Okay, that's good. You can still come up if you want as we're praying. But I'm going to start. My landing gear's out. We're going to start finishing this up. Here we go. We are all going to pray together as a family. We're all going to pray together as believers. Everybody ready? Everybody ready? Everybody ready? I want us to all lift our hands nice and high. Come on. With a nice loud voice, I want everyone to say, Jesus,
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 forgive me
of all my sins,
of all the bad things I've ever done that are against your word and against your will. Jesus, fill us, fill us full and overflowing with your spirit, speaking in tongues, just like the Bible says. Say in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want everybody to shout one big hallelujah. Hallelujah is God's favorite word. On the count of three, I want you to begin to say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And as you begin to say it, the Holy Ghost is going to come down on you and you're going to speak in tongues. Close your eyes. Lift up your hands. Open them nice and wide. One, two, three. Hallelujah. Don't stop. You're going to get the Holy Ghost right now. Here it comes. Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus.
Baptize me, Jesus.
Baptize me, Jesus.
With the Holy Ghost. service and get the Holy Ghost right now.
I can do it.
Come on. Had another one get the Holy Ghost.
Shall have power.